Know this. There is a mighty army. It's being raised up out of the formation of what is looked at as the church. But know this, that in the days ahead, those who give themselves closer to this order of things and giving themselves to me in spirit and in truth, know this, that there will be a resurrection of great sorts among my church. The church within the church will live and come forth and be that spotless bride in which I'm coming back for, saith the Spirit of grace. For know this, that oftentimes in times of choice and times of decisions and the love walk that you walk in, what seems to be small and hidden things of the heart that no one can see, know this, that the decisions that you make to walk in giving yourself to me will interpret out to those things that are seen among men, and the glory that I'm able to rest upon you and you giving yourself to me in those behind the scene decisions of life to walk in my love, know this, that they will be seen of all men in the days to come, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if I could get the lights, what I'd ask is, before you're seated, I'd like all the mothers to come down and let me qualify that. Even if you haven't yet given birth, naturally, but you've helped raise, or you've cuddled and raised kids in some way, brought them up, you've had some mentorship in their life, I'd like for you to come, all our mothers to come. Candy, if you'll get ready to have somebody assist you and pass those out, please. And the rest of you can be seated for the time being. Hallelujah. Why don't you give us something to worship? For you have, saith the Spirit of grace, and now He's speaking directly to these, more to do than what you realize. Know this, that in the mundane days of your life, everyone that you touch, not just yours that have come forth, but all the little ones that you'll rear up in the Spirit, and every touch in the natural out there in the world, even when my name is not mentioned, but you touch them with my love, know this, that you're preparing people and little ones for eternity, saith the Spirit of grace. That in the corridors of heaven in the times to come, you'll see these places that are prophesied to you now. But a very special place has been prepared in my Father. For did I not say that I go away to prepare for you a dwelling place? And that place is in my Father. And know this, that there will be heralded throughout the ages that very special place for mothers and for women who gave themselves over to that call to be able to share their lives with someone else to bring forth those in eternity. So rejoice. Do not relish in any of the mistakes of the past or anything that the accuser could come to you and tell you that you were less than the example of a mother then. Know this, that my blood has forever sanctified you and set you free, saith the Spirit of grace. Therefore I say unto you, according to my record in heaven, you have never failed God. Hallelujah. Well, these are first times for a lot of you. This is the first time for my mother not to have her father here. It's the first time for my wife. Where is my wife? And her sister. not to have their mom on planet Earth, but heaven's getting fuller. Hallelujah. So it's a lot of first times. A lot of first times. I looked over at Amber this morning. I said, you always had these, and these were more than enough. The ones that we were raising. And for years and years, it looked like there's a possibility that she'd never have her own. And I looked over and patted her belly, and I said, but little Aubrey, Faith, is here with us this morning. So, hallelujah. So, first time. There's a first time for everything. Hallelujah. So, why don't you just snuggle in a little closer to me? I want to pray a prayer over you. Your grace. Your grace right now. So, Father, why don't you ladies just with the hand that you're not holding the flower with, just lift it up and just receive. Oh, Jesus. Release your glory. Now, this is His gift to you. And I say it by the Holy Ghost with no fear that what I'm saying is not from Him. Know this, that He said that the petitions of your heart, which has everything to do with those that you love the most in this life, making it to heaven. Know this, that if you'll walk in the simplicity of that faith until you come home with me, even if they're left here and you come there, know this, I say by the Spirit of the Lord, not one of them will be lost in eternity, saith the Spirit of grace. Not one of them will be lost, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. So, Father, I release your grace over our mothers today and the ones that aren't here and the ones that are in heaven. We thank you for it, Father. And we bless our mothers and we thank you for them. And we bless them this day and pray that the power of your Holy Spirit will not only rest upon them this day, but all the future days of their life, that they'll grow closer, closer and closer to you as they walk further in this life. And we give you all the glory and all the praise. Hallelujah. Amen. And I must say, I had the very best. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give these mothers a great big hand. And if you would you just stand up and just greet these mothers and greet one another for a little bit. Marty, if you can give us something to walk around with. Hallelujah. Would you just stretch your faith this way and just help me out? Pray for me. I worship you, Father. I glorify you. Who you are and what you are and what you become to us. Father, I love you. For your peace, more than anything else that passes all understanding. I glorify you. I thank you that it is a choice. Your peace is a choice. We glorify you. It's not a circumstance, it's a choice. We glorify you and give you all the praise and all the glory. I receive their prayers and I bless them in the same. So, Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can lead and guide us into truth, and thy word is truth. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. He was sharing with me this morning as I was in prayer, so I'm just going to take you where he had me at. Let's go to the book of Acts. Let's look at the church in its beginning and just a prototype of where we're headed. Because whether you knew it or not, and I think most of you do that's hung around here long, very long, we're headed towards revival. Hallelujah. A great outpouring. And I think I've got to hear it to help me. Would you say, I say, Immokalee is in revival. Thousands and thousands are born again in this outpouring. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, demoniacs are set free. maimed or made whole. And thousands and thousands are born again in this revival. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you turn with me to Acts chapter 2? Actually, we'll go there, but we'll look at first what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1. This is a repeat of His ministry, although when the book of Acts is beginning to be written, Jesus is already gone from the earth. But if you want to look at revival, then you need to look at the book of Acts. Jesus was the prototype, but He was a one-man show. There was nobody else born again. His 12, they were not yet born again. You know, it's amazing to me. A lot of people will identify with the different apostles prior to their salvation. Well, I'm just like Peter. I just say what I mean, and I mean what I say. And they're talking about a man that wasn't born again. He didn't get born again until after the cross. And they'll just say, well, my God, you're just like Peter. I mean, you just got a real, yeah. Well, you're talking about a man that's not yet born again, a man that shied away from Jesus, forsook Him. Look, every one of them, Judas played out his part, but every one of them forsook Him. None of them were born again. None of them had the new nature. None of them. So they're walking around thinking He's going to take them into a messianic, they thought it was a Roman takeover. He's going to take over the, and right up to the cross, Jesus says, I'm going in, I'm going to die. And for 3.5 years, their minds are blinded to the fact that this is a spiritual thing He's doing. Peter takes Him aside and begins, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And Peter pipes up. He's always the first one to speak. Somebody says sometimes, I'm just like Peter. I'll just open up and later have to repent. You know what? Don't be like Peter. Keep your mouth closed. Listen to what the Holy Spirit, be like Jesus. He never spoke until He heard. And so, He said, thou art the Son of God. Jesus said, wow, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. 2 minutes hadn't gone by, and Jesus says what He says, I'm going to go in and I'm going to die. They're going to crucify me, but don't be of good cheer. I'm going to arise. And then Peter takes Him aside. And I remember one of my professors in college, he said the Greek actually, the deal is that what he's there is, he's actually cussing. And I could believe Peter would cuss a lot before he got saved. And he's cussing at what Jesus had just said. And he said, you're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. You see, all of them thought, this man's marching us in for a takeover. And that's why James and John's mother said, look, when you come into your kingdom, we read that like the church, like when you come into your kingdom. They thought when He came into His political takeover, can James and John sit on your right and left hand? And all the rest of the disciples heard it, and they were spitting mad because they're like, no, I'm going to be a governor of Judea. I'm going to be a governor of Samaria. I'm going to be a governor here, there, and elsewhere. And Peter begins to cuss and say, look, you're not going to do this. You mean to tell me we followed you for 3 years, and now you're going to die and leave us? And then immediately Jesus rebukes him. He just said the Holy Ghost revealed one thing. Now he turns and said, He says, get thee behind me, Satan. In other words, Peter, basically Jesus knew you're not yet born again. You're being puppeteered by a spirit. Now, I like to be used by the Holy Ghost, but I hate to think of the times that even after my Christianity, my born-again spirit, do you know little devils can get on your shoulder? And if you don't brush them off with the blood of Jesus, you can say what they're saying. You can puppeteer like they say and you say. They speak in your ear and you just say what they say. You can hurt other Christians. You can hurt other people. You can feel righteous like, I believe God's telling me to tell you this. You can have a self-righteous indignation kind of spirit like, I'm going to straighten somebody out. I'm going to straighten you out, brother, in love. No, all you do is just hurt people. If they're not ready to receive it, if they're not wanting it, you can't straighten nobody out. I've had people come to me invariably and years of ministry and say, Pat, now when they're real hot and on fire, they'll say this, and I know their hearts are pure. Pastor, if you ever see me straying, would you please get on me and make me pray? Make me. I used to say, okay, by invitation, can you? I tell them anymore, look, just let me be your friend. Because when somebody's red hot and they want to pray and they want to come to church, they'll commune with you. But when they're not praying and a little bit of the world's getting in them, they don't want to talk to you. And then what they ask you to do becomes a breach between you and them, because when they see you, they think, he's going to ask me, are you walking with God? And then they don't even want to talk to you anymore. So I'm like, no, don't foreignize me from you, because if you don't walk where you're supposed to, eventually you'll make mine and your relationship. You can't make anybody do anything. All you can do is pray, and all you can do is love them. Hallelujah to God for the love of God. So Jesus said, you don't savor the things of God. Who's speaking through you is the enemy. But this is Jesus speaking, and he spoke. But the beautiful part is this. It transitioned from a one-man show, Jesus being the prototype of revival. Now it's handed down to human beings alone. There's no deity in these guys. They're walking in the love of God. They've been born again. The disciples got born again in the upper room. Not in the 120. That's when the 120 got born again. The Holy Ghost came in, filled them, saved them, filled them right there. The rest of them, the disciples that were in the upper room, when Jesus appeared and he came through the wall, and they began, he said, touch me, handle me, see. Spirit has not flesh and bone as you see me have. And then he said, the word says he breathed on them, the Holy Ghost. He said, receive. He breathed out of his bosom and said, receive the Holy Ghost. And then he began to talk about what he had just done. He said, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. And when he breathed the Holy Ghost, none of them began to speak in tongues. The Holy Ghost was another several days ahead, that baptism. But they received the generation of the new nature. The new nature came into them in the upper room. That's when they got born again. That's when they received that life. Now, you got 11 men walking around on planet Earth. And even Mary, his mother, she's not yet born again. It's amazing. My little JoJo that I hold, little Hayden, they're innocent. They go to heaven. They'll never die premature. But little babies, if they do die, they go. But as long as you got them in your home until they pray, they're a foreigner. The DNA, the spiritual DNA, is not the same in them as it is in you. But the moment you get born again, you go from death to life, and something changes on the inside. And that was all provided through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God. Now this is turned over. The 120 go into the upper room. They wait it out and they receive that new nature. The 11 is saying, hey, we see this thing. Let's tarry for it, because he breathed on us. We've got the new nature now, but we're waiting for the fullness. We're waiting for the baptism. When the baptism falls, I'm going to read in just a moment. I promise I told you to turn there. The power begins. Now, Satan has done everything he possibly can in the latter-day church to try to suffocate and push out that power on the church. Do you know the mega churches as a whole, not all of them, because I don't want to stereotype, but the mega churches as a whole want, even if they have classroom behind, let's go in here and teach about it, will not advocate, will not pronounce, will not say, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We believe in the fullness of the Spirit. We believe that the Holy Ghost can come in and interrupt this service and give tongues and interpretation and the gifts of the Spirit ministering. Why? Because it's an embarrassment. I know there has to be form and order. I know that there will have to be days that we will wonder. The Holy Ghost will teach us through this. When we get to be 5,000 and then 10,000, it will be different in the sense of the word that you couldn't even hear a person over there. You couldn't hear a person. The the different things that will take place, but I can tell you this, by His grace on the pronouncement of His Word is what He's doing us as we go forward into revival. The Holy Ghost and the power of this gospel, the blood of Jesus and the power of the gifts of the Spirit, this gospel will always, by His grace, be circumvented among us. And the glory is always welcome to fall, calls us to be able to explode in the things of the Holy Ghost. And speaking in tongues is very welcome here. Hallelujah, Jesus. I was speaking with a cousin friend of mine. A lot of you will know who I'm talking about when I say, but it was so refreshing. Because he's got a pretty good sized church. He had over 500 Easter. And he was talking about a friend of his that just came through. And this friend wasn't saying this, but this friend travels a lot and knows a lot. And he says to this friend, to this cousin of mine, he said, "I don't believe." Now, this was his perspective. But then my cousin-in-law said something that I loved. He said, the guy said, "I don't believe we'll ever see another mega church in America." I'm talking about thousands, that allows praying in tongues and speaking in tongues and those kinds of things in their main floor auditorium. And my cousin said, "We're going to prove them wrong." I said, "My God, hallelujah to God." He said, "In my church, we pray in tongues, we speak in tongues. The gifts of the Spirit, interpretation of tongues, is not only allowed, but it is promoted." Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. How can you be ashamed? How can you put in the back room what Jesus put on the front shelf? How can you? This is what Jesus said. He said in Acts chapter 1, He said in verse 4, "But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me, for John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence." Verse 7, "And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His hands, His own power, but you shall receive power." Hallelujah. Everybody say power. "After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Amakalee, every place in the world." Hallelujah. "Unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Hallelujah. So, in chapter 2, this is where He came, the Holy Ghost. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with," and if you have a pen or anything, or if you just want to, there's certain places here, it's very important, put a underscore, "one accord." They were all with one accord, because if there's anything that is the keynote part of the revival in the book of Acts, it was that the Holy Ghost brought power, but He brought it through one accord. He brought it through one accord. Hallelujah. There was something that was circumventing itself. I've told you this before. You know it. But revival is an atmosphere. It's a feeling, but it's a God feeling. It's an atmosphere that brings, the Holy Ghost brings congregation. The spirits of this world bring segregation. Have you ever walked into a room and you know that there's nothing wrong? You know that there's nothing wrong and you just feel so alienated. You feel alienated. Nobody's been talking. Nobody's been saying anything. But you just feel like estranged. Estranged. You go away feeling like that lack of communication, and you can even say it if you don't watch it. Well, I don't know, we're just distant. Let me tell you something. There are spirits, demonic spirits, that are designed against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to come in and infiltrate and create the opposite of revival. The revival is, I want more of you as much as I want God. I want to congregate. The spirit of this world says, let's segregate. He creates an alienation. I don't think they like me. I don't think she likes me. I don't think he likes me. Why? I don't know, but I just got a feeling. I go by my feelings too. My feelings direct me wherever I go. Why wouldn't they like you? I don't know. I just got a feeling. There's a spirit, not one, but there's thousands of them. And they will infiltrate a church. They'll infiltrate an atmosphere and create. Now, let me tell you what the Holy Ghost, there are thousands, and those thousands cannot equal what one. His name is the Holy Ghost. He creates a spirit of congregation, not segregation. He creates a spirit like, okay, I know this thing, I feel it, but I'm breaking the ice. I'm breaking the ice. I'm pushing past anything it's a lie. It's devils. Devils will live in your presence. You know what? I couldn't believe this, but I found out several years ago. The devils will come right into your prayer closet. They will invade it. They did Jesus's. He went into the wilderness. He's praying. They came right in. The main man, Satan himself. I don't know that you believe this, but devils will come to church. They'll talk to you the whole time while the preacher's preaching. They'll be sitting somewhere close to you. They'll ask the guy to move so they can sit down next to you, and they'll be talking about what I'm talking. And every word that I say, they'll twist it. They'll twist it in your ear. Well, I know how everybody else is hearing this, but I hear the truth in what he's saying. I know what he's saying. You know, there is a devil. It works in the home. He works in the home. He works in the marriage. He works in the church. You can't even get it out of your lips, knowing that what you're saying is pure, and you're even a compliment is twisted. By the time it goes from the atmosphere, from the words of your mouth to their ear, which is a split second, it has already been flip-flopped and put into their computer upside down. Even when you're trying to be nice. Honey, your hair looks good today. Why? It didn't look good yesterday? Baby, I like that dress on you. You don't like what I've been wearing? What's the deal? Woo! Pastor, you preach good today. What, I haven't been preaching good for a long time or what? What's the deal here? They create an atmosphere. An atmosphere is kind of like Christmas. You know, nothing really changes. I mean, it may get a little cooler outside. That sets a mood. You may see the Christmas lights, but what is it? It's everybody talking. It's everybody sharing. It's everybody getting a little closer together. It's an atmosphere, but when the Holy Ghost brings revival, He brings an atmosphere that not only wants you to get closer to God, it also brings a congregating. It brings a, I need you. I want you. This is based on Jesus. And the more I fall in love with Him, the more I fall in love with you. Hallelujah. Well, I really, you know what? What I like about going to church, and I'll tell you this, and this is not an indictment. Listen, if you're hearing this by internet, please, and if you go to a mega church and it's a Holy Ghost filled mega church, stay in it, because we're headed that way with you. We're thousands. But wherever thousands congregate, they should always know this. It should always be family. There should always be a family atmosphere that's set into effect. And so as we go into Him and as we understand that He creates that atmosphere of family, when we go into God, know that the Holy Ghost is the one that is creating that atmosphere. He's not the one that's going to make you feel estranged from one another. He's going to make you feel like, God, not only do I want more of them, more of you, I want more of them. I want more of them. I want to love them more. I want to pray for them more. And here's the thing that He will do. A lot of people go to mega churches. You know why? Because they like to hide. Hide. Nobody, there's thousands of us. Nobody knows. And the other thing, too, is I can tiptoe in here, and then I can go tiptoe back out, get in my car, drive home, and I don't have to know everybody's faults. Because faults and people, it hurts my delicate emotions. When I see somebody's got a fault that I thought was really walking real close, it tears my delicate emotions up. You don't even get ready for the outpouring until you know that other people have mega faults and you can love them for just who they are. Now, I played a little bit, 9th and 10th grade. And I never, ever, 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 ever heard any of our running backs run over to the coach and say, "Coach, I'm pulling my number. Pull me out." Why? Why, son? Because that whole line up there has got B.O. And every time they fall on me, they stink. And they're sweaty, and I'm having to rub my arms against their arms, and there's mud on them, and they stink. And coach, somebody, when we pile up, somebody's got gas. Somebody's got gas. And I just can't stand the atmosphere of people's faults. He would say, "Son," coach said, they would take you by the face mask and pull you out like this and set you down. "Son, we're out there to get dirty. We're going into revival. We're out there to look over and say, man, golly, I didn't know they stunk this bad. I didn't know they had that problem in their life. But man, they're working with us. We're going towards revival. So that's all that matters. Just keep going with us. Hallelujah. I didn't know their breath stunk like that. I didn't know they had that problem. But glory to God, they're not quitting. We're going forward. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah." So there's an atmosphere that the enemy brings to pick out people's faults and take a magnifying glass and put it in front of you and say, "You see that?" The only problem is if you don't watch it, that magnifying glass will be turned on you. And I don't want it turned on me. All my faults are the best kept secrets. Hallelujah. That's why I never did pretty much. I just couldn't see going through those classes where somebody took you back and back and back and back. Well, let's get that devil off of you, and let's get that devil off of you. Gary Carpenter said, "My God, why would you want to remember what's under the blood?" I thought to myself, why would you? Why do you want to talk about anything that's under the blood? Hallelujah to God. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And by the way, Gary and Sue will be here next Sunday. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Well, we're not going to get too far this week, and then Gary's going to mess up things being here next week. And I can tell you. He said there was one accord, they were one place, and suddenly a sound from heaven came as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language, and they were amazed and marveled. Hallelujah. The revival is going to be an amazement and a marvel, because we're not only going to be able to get along with each other, but we're able to get past evil spirits that are being dumped out of hell. Hallelujah. Verse 17 of chapter 2 said, and it came to pass in the Peter stands up, he prophesies and quotes the word of God out of the book of Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I hadn't got into the dreaming part because I hadn't got old enough yet. So, hallelujah. I have to leave that to Homer. Hallelujah. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. And I will show wonders in the heaven, signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Excuse me. And the sun shall be turned into blood, and the moon turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. Verse 38. And Peter preached this. He's up, standing up. Now, this is the same guy that ran out in the darkness, denied him three times. Now he's filled with the Holy Ghost. This is a different Peter. This is the one I can identify with now. Hallelujah. He speaks. Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all the way to 2011 and 12 coming up, and all them that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself unto this untoward generation. Then they gladly received the word of God and were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. It's just going to happen. Boom. Boom. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thousands and thousands. They were continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread. They wanted to be together. You know, it's just like we want to be with each other. And the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. You see this? This is not socialism. It's not a communism that man dictates. You can't dictate. You can't tell somebody what to do with their finances. That's wrong. You can't manipulate somebody like that. Only the Holy Ghost can tell them, and they're glad when the Holy Ghost speaks. Verse 46, and they continued daily, and there's that word, those two words again, in one accord. Hallelujah. One thing that I believe that was flushed out of Jerusalem when the Holy Ghost came, I believe two things happened. I believe he fell on them, and I believe that that demonic spirit that was over that region that caused confusion and caused segregation, whew, man, I believe he had to go to some other part of the universe. Because he was all of a sudden, the glory of God was in a place on top of a bunch of people, flowing through a bunch of people, and they only had one common cause, and that was Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. That wasn't a bunch of petty doctrines. It was one thing, Jesus Christ, Him crucified, let's get the job done, let's get them baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and let's get them going on their way to heaven. Hallelujah. We got a common cause here. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Homer. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house. I'm coming to your house to break bread in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because powerful things will be done. Powerful things. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, we're just kind of scurrying through this, but it's okay. He says, and Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. Now, I'm just going to tell you, this is the crippled man of the gate beautiful. And he is healed miraculously. And then they suffer persecution because of it. We'll skip all the way over to chapter 4. Because Peter preaches after they heal this cripple. He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he does. He goes into the temple and all the Sadducees, verse 4 or verse 1 of chapter 4. It got religion mad. Now see, one of the reasons why a bunch of you need to get real tough and get gator hide. We don't have no rhinoceros around here. But you need to get gator hide. Because if somebody looking at you wrong or saying something wrong, or if you're easily offended, you're going to be mad all the time. All the time. You need to. Only the Holy Spirit can put a callus over your heart, not the wrong kind of callus, where you're mean. But you have. He's the one that'll get us in a place, because as all these little ones come in, they're going to come in with faults. Just because they get born again doesn't mean it may take them. It may take them a little. Can I get real? There's no real little guys in here. It may take them a little while to stop sleeping around. It may take them a little while. They may not have had their last hit. They may have in their spiritual diapers some poopy poop. And if you get offended real easy, the devil will target you. If you get mad about people, see, Israel kept going around the same mountain until they got it done. People are still making me mad. Guess what? I see you on the back side of the mountain. You're fixing to take another lap. When people stop making you mad, the good thing about it is then the devil will give you another trial. But at least it's a different one. Hallelujah. Sometimes I've just rejoiced in having a different trial instead of the same old one hitting me in the face all the time. Hallelujah. This is a different one. Woo, it's refreshing to have a different one. Glory to God. But they're going to come in here by the thousands. They still need help. But if we don't give up on them, they'll grow out of all that stuff. We'll keep preaching Jesus Christ to them. Hallelujah. Y'all doing real good. You're helping me. I appreciate it. He says, and he taught, verse 2 in chapter 4, being grieved that they, the Sadducees were grieved and they begin to... Oh, let me just start at 1 because I'm saying this wrong. Verse 1, it says, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they had taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in a hold unto the next day, for it was now eveningtide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them, now this is another, in just a few days' time, 5,000. Hallelujah! That's revival, isn't it? Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, look at verse 32 of chapter 4. Still in chapter 4. And the multitude of them that believed were of, here we go again, one heart and what? One soul. There was something pulling them together. The baptism of the Spirit had brought about a congregating kind of spirit. An atmosphere. It felt like it felt good to be one with another. Verse 34 says, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land and houses sold them and bought and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The distribution was made to every man according to as he has need. As he had need. Hallelujah. Well, we won't go into the next part, but Ananias and Sapphira, it wasn't just that they lied about what they sold. They didn't even have to present it. But the reason why that God struck them down, it was that they lied, but in the essence of how things are now, it wasn't that they lied about money. Listen. If God killed everybody that lied about money, the pulpits would be empty. They'd be empty. There'd be a lot of dead preachers. It wasn't they're lying about money per se. It was that there was a pristine beauty of the freshness and the Holy Ghost had been birthed in the earth. And God said, this thing is pure. This thing, and what they were wanting to do, they were presenting something in a pretense. They wanted the recognition of men. They wanted, God saw it, it was about to infiltrate the church with a money gospel. And God said, this thing's starting pure. And I'm going to keep it as pure as I possibly can. And the reason why he was able to do that is because the apostles' hearts were pure. Now, did he do that then and he won't do it now? No, I don't want to see nobody die about those things. I don't want to see. But what I'm saying is this. What gave God what was different then than it is now was the power and the glory and the pureness that was working in the pulpit. Therefore, he had a voice to speak, and he had a covering to the church that said, no, this thing is not going to go out in left field. You're not going to buy a pulpit. You're not going to buy a position on the board. You're not going to believe something about how to present your money in such a way that you're getting recognition from it. And the purity brought the glory of God into such a place that the execution of judgment was right then. It was right then. Now, as we get closer to revival, you can understand this. And as we walk in the mortification the Holy Spirit is asking us to, there will be, with mercy and with love, not from me but from Him, there'll be a changing of things in the earth concerning these same type of things. Well, let's close it. Let's look at verse 11. He says, "In fear as a result of this, when they fell down dead." Verse 11 says, in chapter 5, "The great fear came upon all the church and upon all them that heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs." Now, with this, we got to close with this part, "because many signs and wonders were wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord." There it is again. Everybody say one accord. Hallelujah. It just keeps showing up. It keeps showing up. It's indicative of the first church. It's one accord, one heart, one soul, one mind. They were all in one accord in Solomon's porch. "And the rest durst no man join himself to them. The people magnified the apostles." They said, "Man, we respect these guys. We love these guys. We're backing them up." "And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitude, both of men and women, inasmuch as they brought forth the sick." Now, this is revival. I love this. Jesus is gone, but this works after Jesus is gone. "They brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least," at the least, "the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." Hallelujah, Jesus. This is our confession about revival, that they're all healed. They're all healed. And this is what it says here. I mean, this is the church in action. "They were all healed, every one." Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's good enough right there. Hallelujah.